I want to read and share some scripture with you from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So I want to ask you to pray for the message today. If you have your Bibles and want to read with me, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want to begin reading there with verse 1. The Apostle Paul wrote this epistle to the church at Corinth. And it says in chapter 2, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of the world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but with the Holy Ghost, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." That's reading the first 16 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 for a scripture reading today. And I really struggled with how to title the message today. I had several thoughts that came to my mind and tried to search out what the Lord would have me to do in that way. I generally, through the years, have felt inclined to try to title the sermons that I try to bring. And so I want to use for a title today, "Did You Feel That?" I want you to think about that with me today. Did you feel that? In the way of a great exclaiming question, with excitement, did you feel that? You know, we today understand that there's been a lot of differing ideas about the things of God and about people being saved. We know that there are a lot of views in the world today. There's one way to really get saved. There's a whole lot of ways that man has invented. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. But you see, the end thereof are the ways of death. That's what man's ways bring us to. They bring us to death. And that's not just the death of the body. That's eternal death. The ways of man bring about eternal destruction. Jesus said very plainly, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the way that God has made, he doesn't make any exceptions. None. God's ways are higher than our ways. God knew what he was doing when he designed the one way of salvation. And he knew that it would be good for every generation of people that would live on the earth. God knew that his way would be good for everybody and would be sufficient for everybody. It has been, and I came today, and I want you to know that the Lord burdened my heart with this. I came here today to speak for him. But I did come here today, I guess, somewhat to make defense. There's something that we have believed as a people throughout the years that has been ridiculed. And you know what? Listen, folks, that's okay. I mean, there were people that ridiculed the things of the Lord, and he tried to just be patient. And that's what we ought to do today. But I came today, you know, even though that our old-time missionary Baptist churches have believed this through the years, I came today primarily not to defend us as a people as much as to defend the Word of God. The truth is what counts. The truth is what's important. And the defense of the Scriptures, you know, we ought to be willing as a people not only to promote what we believe, but to defend it as well. And if we cannot scripturally defend something, then we ought to be careful about believing it, shouldn't we? We ought to be able to substantiate the things that we say we believe. And so, you know what I say to every church member, to every Christian, get your Bible out, and if it hadn't been out for a while, blow the dust off of it and get into God's Word, and when you tell somebody that you believe something, be able to show them why you believe it. That's very important, and especially in the world that we live in today. Now, there have been those, many have said, that salvation is not something that you feel. It's not something that you experience. It's something that you trust that you have because that you have gone through the things that are taught in the Bible, and you have done those things, and then that is your witness. Well, that's not really what the Bible teaches. Now, we do have to do the things that we have been scripturally commanded to do. The Bible teaches me, in the 17th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, that God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. We learn that from the Scriptures. The scriptures also teach us that it is with the heart that man believes unto righteousness. We know that God requires that total faith, that faith that comes from the heart. We must trust Him with all of our heart. We must repent of our sins in order to be saved. Those are scriptural commandments from God. Paul, in his writing to Timothy, he said that you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And so God's holy word is able to show you and I what we have to do in order to be saved. It's able to make us wise to the things, to give us wisdom. The scriptures can give us the wisdom of what we have to do in order to be saved. But whether or not a person has been saved, the scriptures cannot tell them that. The scriptures cannot be that personal witness of salvation. And the Bible proves that. Because Jesus once told a group of Jews, he said, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me." You see, that's what the scriptures do. They testify of Jesus. And so what I wanted to talk about today primarily is the witness work of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I'm going to say this, that there are and have been many that suppose and teach and promote that you cannot feel your salvation. Well, I'm going to put this before this audience today, and I'm going to endeavor to give scriptural proof of this today. That I believe that if you don't have something that you haven't felt, you've missed it. You've missed it. If you don't have something where God has given you the witness in yourself through His Holy Spirit, friend, you've missed it. And you need to search for that until you have it. Because God's desire is to have a people that can serve Him and worship Him and honor Him and praise Him in this world. And you can't do that. You can't really do that without the witness work of the Holy Spirit of God in your heart. What happens to people when they try to do that? They become those that Jesus spoke about. They become those that the Apostle Paul, I believe, later also spoke about. They fit that category of those who honor Him with their lips, but their heart is far from Him. And that's what, that's all that can be accomplished apart from the Holy Spirit witness, is that you can honor God with your lips, but not in your heart. So the Apostle Paul, in his writings, he made a point in several of his epistles about the Spirit of God accompanying his preaching. He reminded the church at Thessalonica in his writing to them. He said, "When we came to you, when our gospel came to you, it came not in word only, but also in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance." Now here in his writing to the church at Corinth, he said, when I came and preached to you, when I was there among you, I want to remind you that my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Friends, listen, my desire today, and I believe the desire of my preacher brothers that are here today, I've heard them preach, and I believe their desire is the same. When I stand before a congregation of people, wherever that it might be, to declare the unsearchable riches of Christ, I have no desire to try to baffle people with great words and eloquent speech. I'd rather just preach the plain, simple truth of God's word and put it out there the way that it was given to us and pray that the Holy Spirit of God will take a hold of it and use it in people's hearts to trouble them about their condition before God. When we preach the word of God, when we stand and testify about the word of God, it ought to be our greatest desire that the Holy Spirit of God would get in it and would bear witness to it and would use it to set up what needs to be done in people's hearts. I'm not very smart. I'll just be honest with you about that. I don't consider myself to be a smart person. There's a lot of people that are much more educated than what I am. But you know what I find when I read about the Apostle Paul? Paul was a very educated man. He had been well trained. He had sat at the feet of the Jewish doctors, and he had been well trained. And I believe that Paul was a highly intellectual man. But yet, even with that being the case in his own life, he wrote to this church and he said, I want you to remember and recall that when I came to you, I didn't try to baffle you with brilliance. I didn't try to use enticing words of man's wisdom when I preached, but I just plainly declared to you Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's all I desired to preach among you. And he said, the reason that I did that is because that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Folks, listen, there are too many people in the world today in the name of religion that are following men around and leaving God clear out of the picture. Paul didn't want that. Paul didn't want a large following. He didn't want people to follow him. You know, Paul's only desire in that way, and you can read about it, and he wrote it in his epistles. Paul's desire in that way was that people would only follow him if he was following the Lord. And that's how it should be. The only way that a church ought to follow their pastor is if their pastor is following the Lord. But listen, if their pastor is following the Lord, then the church ought to follow him. That's the way that God designed it. I want you to consider here a few of these verses with me. I want to go through them again. This is where my thoughts really lie. In verse 9 and 10, it says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You know, I don't know what heaven's like. I don't know yet what heaven's like. There are spiritual things about us and around us that I don't yet know exactly what they're like. I don't know what it's going to be like when I dwell in the realm of eternity. I don't understand that yet. Right now we're seeing through a glass darkly. There's going to be a time, and thank God there is a time coming. I want to tell you something. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the time because, you know, the things of God are great. I mean, there's nothing like them. And friends, I'm excited about the time out there ahead when I'm going to have a much fuller understanding and a fuller revelation and knowledge than what I have here. I don't know what heaven's like and what these things are like, but I do know that I'm going to one day experience them and know more about them. And you may have heard this verse used many times where Paul wrote here, quoting from the prophet Isaiah, when he said, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him." And we oftentimes quote that verse in reference to future glory and future bliss. You know, some of the commentators don't believe that it meant that at all. Some of them believe that he was merely talking about the great things consisting in the plan of God's salvation. I'm just going to give you my view on it. I think he was talking about all of those things. I think he was talking about what we have now. I think he was talking about what we're going to have in the future. I think that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, neither has it entered into our hearts, encompassed all the great benefits that we experience from the plan of salvation while we're here on the earth. And it also encompassed the great glory that's going to be revealed in us after a while. There are things that we have yet to see and things to learn. I know there's going to be rejoicing on the hills of glory. I believe that there will be people there shouting the praises of God and singing the praises of God through all eternity. Somebody asked me one time what I thought we would do in heaven, and I gave them the best answer that I knew. I said, "I can't tell you everything that we'll be doing in heaven, but I do know one thing that the Bible teaches me that we will absolutely do in heaven, and that is worship. We will worship. We will worship the Lord around his throne without any thing to hinder us in any way from doing that. We'll give him perfect praise." That's one of the sweet thoughts to me. I know everybody's got their own thoughts, but that's one of the sweet thoughts to me, that one of these days in heaven, I'll be able to praise the Lord and worship the Lord better than what I've able to do here. Don't you feel like, honestly, don't you feel like sometimes you've cheated him? I do. I feel like sometimes I've robbed the Lord of the praise that I ought to give him. I feel like sometimes I'm not close enough to the Lord. Sometimes he doesn't get the praise from me that he ought to get for the things that he's done for me. But I look to the day when one day that'll be behind me, and I won't be hindered by time, and I won't be hindered by the infirmities of this sinful flesh that I dwell in now, and I'll just be able there to give God praise much better than what I'm able to now. And I think for me, that's one of the great benefits of heaven, is to be able to worship God on a higher level and give him greater praise. But Paul went on to say, and here's a verse that often gets left out of it, I'm afraid. Paul said, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." Think about it. Not by the scriptures, not by the written word, not by any other witness. God has not revealed those things to us by anything other than by his Spirit. I heard the word of God preached When I was a young boy, I can't remember not hearing it preached. I was taken all my life, and I said, under the sound of the gospel, I heard men proclaim what I had to do in order to be saved. I heard people testify what they had done in order to be saved. I heard people stand up all my life and tell their experience of salvation. But when it came down to my time with the Lord, when I found the Lord, there was one force there. There was one power there. There was one person there that revealed it unto me when I had got saved. And that was the Spirit of the Lord. Nobody else. Nobody else. All those old preachers, all those men of God that I had heard stand and preach to me through the years, all those old saints of God that I had heard testify about the goodness of God in their lives through the years, when I came before the Lord and I began to seek after God, when God saved me, not one of them told me about that. Not one of them. I didn't need their help. God let me know. In the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, there's an account there of a woman who had a physical affliction. She'd had an issue of blood for 12 years. You go read that. I'm sure that most of you have read it, but go read it again. She had an issue of blood for 12 years, and she had spent all of her living on the physicians and had not been made better. And she heard about Jesus, and she believed within herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I would be made whole. And she came behind him there in the crowd of people, and she made her way to the Lord, and she reached out and she touched the hem of his garment, and she was made whole. Through her faith, she was made whole. And you read in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, and you'll find the words there that when that woman touched the hem of his garment, the Bible says that she felt in her body that she was made whole of the plague. And if you go just a couple of verses later, it says that it was made known to her what the Lord had done for her. Now, Jesus wanted us to get the spiritual implications there, and that being that what applied to her physically applies to all spiritually. If you can't feel it, I asked the question in the way of a title. Did you feel that? I did. Man, I'm telling you, when I got saved, something real happened. I mean, the realest thing that ever happened to me, the most real thing that ever happened to me in my life, when I got saved, in the best way that I know how to describe it, and you know, you may tell yours different, but I believe essentially the same thing happens with all of us. The best way that I've ever known to try to explain it is, it seemed like there that night when I was down on my knees crying out to God, that I just, in my prayers, I went to a place that there was nobody there but God and myself. And when I went there, I mean, I was in a horrible shape. I was condemned because of my sin. I was lost and without God. I was a ruined sinner on my way to hell. And when I went before the Lord there in that place, I was in bad shape. When I came back, I was a whole lot better. I mean, that's what it seemed like to me. That's what it seemed like to me, that I just left everything behind and went to a spiritual plane where it was one-on-one, between the Lord and me. And when he saved me, I knew it. I knew it. You can say, well, how? Well, I knew it. I knew it. God through his Spirit. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. I didn't understand it then, not nearly as much as I do now. I've had years to read about it and study about it and read the things that the Scriptures teach us about the experience between God and man. But all I knew as an 18-year-old boy who was essentially ignorant of most of the things in God's Word, all I know is when God touched my soul, I knew that I had been touched by the Master's hand. I knew it. You know, when the Bible says, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise, it's not just talking about people that are young in age. We're all babies in Christ when we get saved, aren't we? I was just a babe before him, but I knew what had happened to me. To me, it doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense to think that God could touch you down deep in your soul without you knowing what happened. You know what God does when he saves you? Ezekiel 36:26 tells us that he takes that stony heart out of the flesh and he puts a heart of flesh in us. He does an operation on our heart. God doesn't do that to your heart without you knowing it. He told the woman at the well, whoever drinks this natural water is going to thirst again, but whosoever drinks of the water that I'll give him, there'll be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And friends, listen, I'm glad I had that drink of water. Aren't you thankful today if you've been saved that you had that drink of spiritual water? I'll tell you what, it was good when I got it. It's still good today. My soul has never thirsted again. Friends, from the very moment that God saved my soul has never felt condemned since that day. There have been times when I got away from the Lord and I got in trouble, but that condemnation that I had before I was saved has never come back. Not even for a second has never come back. Because that living water is in there just springing up and quenching that thirst. And it'll be quenched and has been quenched for all eternity. Thank God for his spiritual witness. I'm going to go one day, and you're going to go one day to stand before the Lord. I'm going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm going to stand me, this frail human. I'm going to stand one day before the Maker of all things, before the one that made me, and I'm going to have to give account to him. And when I stand before the Lord one day, I would not want to stand before him with any less defense than this, to be able to say, Lord, back there, that day in the 18th year of my life, it was you that told me that I was saved. It wasn't anybody else. It wasn't human intervention. You told me that, God. I'd hate to stand before the Lord with anything short of that. The Spirit itself, Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. if the Holy Spirit hasn't done that in your soul, you need to keep searching no matter what you think you've got. Amen. You need to keep looking. You need to have that witness from the Lord. You need to have God to let you know whether or not you belong to Him. Nothing else is good enough, friends. Don't let anybody deceive you into thinking that it is, because it's not. It's going to be put to the test. You need to be saved. You need to know that you've been saved. And you need to know it through the witness of the Holy Spirit of God, bearing witness with your own individual spirit. And when you got that, you've got scriptural salvation. You've got what the Bible teaches. I thank you today for your attention. I appreciate it very much. I hope that something has been said that has helped somebody.